May the Lord help us to commence our worship today by singing part of hymn number 153 and the second part. Hymn number 153, part 2, singing verses 1 and 2 and 7 to the end. And why, dear Saviour, tell me why thou thus wouldst suffer, bleed, and die? What mighty motive could thee move? The motive's plain, 'twas all for love. Hymn number 153, part 2, singing verses 1 and 2. And 7 to the end.
Read together from the most holy word of God, from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. We'll read chapters 9 and then verse 10 down to and including verse 17. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9 and then verse chapter 10 down to verse 17 inclusive. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of the glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest for good things to come, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Then said I, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish a second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins for ever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. Most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, thou hast in mercy spared us to see this another Sabbath day. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. We're still upon praying ground, and the door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Ah, we have to confess we're sinners indeed. Sinners in need. We cannot say we've been without sin. Oh, when we confess our sins, we look back and we see as the Spirit shines within. Sins of thought, word and deed, sins of omission and commission, and as a hymn writer put it, and how oft are we involved, how solemn it is, but often sin mixed with all we do, our very best is stained and dyed, or all is nothing worth. No, Lord, we thank thee that thou hast kept us in measure from outward sin. When we know what is within and what transpires within, what takes place within. Oh, we groan under it, O Lord. We come to this Sabbath day with this burden. I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Did not the apostle, he cried out thus, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Oh, may we likewise each be brought even as the apostle, whereby he could declare, "But I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, our Lord." Oh, our hope is built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It must be so. Leave us not to lean upon the arm of flesh. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. Leave us not to that which will come short at last. But all to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of faith in Christ. Oh, to be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, may that be our desire, even as the apostle, that I may know him, that I may be found in him. So, Lord, we plead, leave us not to rest upon anything that is no more than of the flesh. For 'tis Christ that must be the way. Yes, Christ being the door into the sheepfold. Oh, all that come up any other way about as thieves and robbers. But oh, may we be found shut in with thee. O Lord, our lives hasten on. Another year hastens by. Teach us each to number our days, we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, bring us to see and realize of a truth how frail we are, and eternity is before us. May we know what it is to plead those lines. Ah, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And so we plead, take us each in hand, prepare us for that day when we shall have to appear each one of us before the judge of all the earth. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But oh, to be seen in that day as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. So take us each in hand. Deal with us, O Lord, in love and mercy. Oh, may we know what it is, even as a prophet declared, woe is me, for I'm undone. Oh, when he had that sight of one thrice holy, so he cried, woe is me, for I'm undone. He didn't just say that he was dwelt amongst a people that were of unclean lips. He had to declare of himself, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. Oh, to know what we are. Ah, yes, how ruined and wretched and poor and vile we are by nature. And all lead us to a precious Christ. May we each know what it is to smite upon our breasts and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we have those reminders, do we not, in our day, that there shall come that day. There shall come that day. Oh, the righteous judge of all the earth, who will not at all acquit the wicked. But all it might be, 'tis he, a precious Christ, seen when that poor sinner is brought there. That imputed righteousness of Christ, that robe of Christ's righteousness, 'tis he, instead of me, is seen when I approach the Christ, approach the God. We plead that it might be so now, but all in that day. A necessity in that day. And so we plead, have mercy upon us each, from the youngest to the oldest. And O Lord, as we are brought once again to thy day, oh, may we, yes, even though we are found in our houses apart, it might be that whereby in spirit, as our ears have been bored to the doorpost, we go up to thy courts, even in this way, to hear what the Lord might speak. We go up to thy courts, even in this way, with us as we would see Jesus. Oh, give me Christ, or else I die. And so as we're restrained to our homes for the moment, O Lord, we plead that thou wouldest go to us each where we are, make one with us, unite us together in Christ. Yes, although apart, but all there might be that felt unity in Christ by the blessed Spirit working within us this day. And all there might be even in this manner, that this day in thy courts might be yet even unto us a day that is better than 1,000. We've been brought through the various scenes of life, the toils and the cares. Lord, we plead, lift us above them. Separate our thoughts from them. Lord, thou knowest we cannot do this of ourselves. We're Martha-like often, careful and troubled about many things, but oh, lift us above them for a moment. We might truly be brought and enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Ah, so do we enable to roll our burden upon thee now, those burdens and cares of time, to commit the way unto thee, to seek thy face in all things. So, Lord, we plead for each one, from the youngest to the oldest, and, Lord, we plead especially for the young. Our dark and evil day in which our lot is cast and their lot is cast. Evil is called good and good is called evil. Watch over them, Lord, we plead. Work in their hearts mightily whilst young in years. Oh, thy tender fear, put it there. Oh, the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom, we read. Oh, may it please thee, implant thy fear in their heart. And in their young years, Lord, thou knowest all that concerns them. No doubt there are those younger ones that have many concerns. We can look back to our own childhood. There were many things that concerned us then. But oh, may they, in their young years, find truly that there is that one that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. They have their adversities in their young years. Oh, may they be able to cast their cares upon thee. And find there is that one that hears and answers prayer. So, Lord, do remember the dear young friends from the young ones. Yes, we plead for the babes in arms and those that are growing up and those that are going on into life. And as it is a difficult day, Lord, make ways for them where there seems to be no way. Govern all their affairs. Manage all by the way unto the end. And do remember parents, Lord, we plead for them as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, grant them that help, we plead. We live in a day when the law is slacked. Evil is called good and good is called evil. Oh, man does what pleases himself in his own eyes, seeks to frame those laws to allow him so to do. And when we view those laws upon our statute book, oh, what abominations are allowed. Ah, what abominations are allowed, and are they not, as it were, in our school system, the education system, through the schools, subtly brought in, sometimes not so subtly. Oh, we plead. Ah, yes, even as children, but parents and the children, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, may they seek help of thee, wisdom of thee, so do help them. And Lord, in this day when we realize there are many things that are turned upside down, brought to naught, and no doubt difficulties, Lord, may they prove. Ah, there is help laid upon one that is mighty. And as we think upon those in the midst of life, Lord, the cares of this life and the things as regards providence. And certainly this year has been different. We've seen thy hand has gone abroad into the nations and the nations of the earth. What desolations and disruptions and turmoil we see. Those things which men once rested in, brought to nothing. Ah, we find a measure of trembling within. Those what ifs and what maybes. Ah, what ifs and what maybes. We soon seem, as it were, we succumb to fear and unbelief. But, O Lord, as we turn to thy word a few days ago now, those words, found them out in thy precious truth, the gold and silver thine. We read also, likewise, the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Thou art able to supply all the needs of thy people according to thy riches in glory. Oh, do supply the needs. May they prove thee to be a God of providence and a God of grace. Oh, we look back to our godly forefathers and those accounts they left. They proved it. And perhaps we've lived in a day of plenty. A day when these things have not been hindered. And now there's a disruption, a turmoil, and a withholding. But, O Lord, may there be a proving. Yes, even as the prophet of old, did he not prove this? When thou didst command the ravens to feed him, so it was. Until the brook dried up, he's fed in the morning and the evening. And then, yes, and perhaps to the natural mind, an unlikely source, that widow woman with her only son going out to gather some sticks to bake one last cake. And the prophet there, make me first a cake. And the three of them prove this, the barrel of meal did not waste. According to thy promise, the barrel of meal did not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail, until the rains came again. Oh, may that comfort our hearts, Lord. It is a day of difficulties. Unseen, unforeseen difficulties, troubles and trials. But thou art the same, yesterday, today and forever. So we plead for that help to each one in the midst of life, and perhaps wondering where the scene will end. Oh, may there be that waiting upon thee. Ah, that patient waiting upon thee. Lord, we can become fretful. We can begin to look upon the wicked that seem to prosper in their way. But oh, until I entered into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Ah, may we prove each one of us that, yes, we can become envious of those that seem to prosper. They don't have those hindrances. They do not have those trials. They go on in their wicked ways and they seem to prosper. Ah, there are such. But, O Lord, may we know that, of a truth, what are those compared to those blessings of the Lord which make rich and he addeth no sorrow to them? And like the psalmist in that Psalm 107, then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. We're brought to cry unto thee in our troubles. The poor trembling worm Jacob brought to cry unto thee in their troubles again and again. May we prove like the psalmist there, the Lord heard and answered and delivered. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the psalmist likewise in summing up in that way, whoso is wise will observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So may each one prove it. Whether it is those in the younger part of their lives, those in the even time of life and all the busy scenes and the cares that suddenly come upon us, ah, he careth for you. The shepherd that goes before his sheep and he leadeth them forth but that right way. And do remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake, heart and flesh begin to fail. Think of our own dear aged mother, we think of one another. And certainly age and infirmity. The grasshopper does become a burden. Oh, bring to their remembrance all the way which thou hast led them, all the words which thou hast spoken unto them. Comfort their hearts, O Lord, grant them those fresh tokens, those tokens of thy special care, that they are born of God, that their treasure is above. Ah, to view that promise. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ah, when their toils and their travels are done here, oh, when thou dost bring them home to glory, oh, that sight by faith, So do satisfy them with thy goodness. They may feel withered and barren naturally, all dried up. But oh, may they know that fruit of the Spirit working within. Dew upon their branch, the former and latter rain in their season. And do remember any afflicted ones. We know of one another that have been afflicted, and those amongst the dear friends at Swavesey. And thou hast raised them up in measure. We thank thee for it. Lord, watch over each one, but grant healing mercies where there are those afflicted. Bless all the means used for their good. Sanctify the path and sweeten the pain. Oh, some of us, we can look back to our afflictions, some of them. We know some, we're like the bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke, so we kicked and struggled against them. But oh, there have been those times when we can say, it's good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Prove the good hand of our God in our afflictions. Sanctified. Ah, sanctified affliction. Then we can kiss the rod. We can kiss the hand that bore the rod. We can acknowledge the necessity of it, and the mercy and the love in it. So we plead it might be so. So do remember any afflicted ones. Do remember any that are in singular circumstances. Oh, we plead for them. Lonely paths, draw near and comfort them. Make one with them. Oh, may they prove like Job of old. He knoweth the way that I take him, and if try me, shall come forth as gold. So do remember them. Remember the churches and people, Lord, we are ministered and brought low. We sit in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, hast thou not searched out Jerusalem with candles? Truly thou hast a controversy with the land and with Judah. Oh, do yet arise for our help. Revive us again. Lord, revive us again. Oh, we plead. Do yet in due time open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing as there might not be room enough to receive it. Lord, we would not despise a day of small things, but oh, it is a day of small things. Our day of desolation, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Oh, Lord, we plead. So do. Do you remember Zion this day, and thy servants have gone forth in thy name in this manner. Lift us above the care and the thoughts and concern of the means. Do make it fit for the master's use. Sanctify it, Lord. And do you remember those that thou hast given them wisdom. We thank thee for it, that thou hast given wisdom to do these things. We feel in of ourselves we have no wisdom and would not be able to do it. But thou dost give wisdom to one and another, and we thank thee for it. Lord, remember them. No doubt they have their cares and concerns in it also, and perhaps a measure of anxiety. But Lord, comfort their hearts. And do remember us also as a land and nation. Oh, how guilty we are. How guilty we are. We deserve thy just judgments. And it seems as if men's hearts are hardened. Oh, we plead, do yet soften the heart of man by these things, by these terrible things in righteousness. Might be those caused by these things. As thou dost work in their hearts, to call upon thee in their day of trouble. They might know that day of trouble, soul trouble. Awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places, Lord, we plead. So do work mightily in our land. Have mercy upon us. Show our leaders what they ought to do. Oh, show our leaders what they ought to do. But oh, we plead, do yet in wrath remember mercy and stay thy hand. But we will fall into thy hands, Lord. We cannot say, what doest thou? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Cannot question it. we deserve it. But oh, may it bring us each to cry unto thee, amongst that remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. Lord, may there be a stirring up in our own hearts. Have we not settled upon our lees? Oh, may it be that moving of our hearts likewise. And may it be them a turning the heart of man. Oh, there might be yet, even in our day, a building of chapels instead of closing them. Could it please thee? But now, Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours. We've lacked nothing. We prove great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we have. Ah, yes, we may murmur at times, we confess it. But oh, many blessings. And can we not say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us? Oh, we can. Oh, and I was to raise an Ebenezer to thy an Ebenezer stone to thy praise this day. Oh, we put the crown upon thy head, hitherto. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And now we plead for thy help this day. Thy word, may it be opened up to this poor sinner's understanding. May it be made a living word to us. I'm but the instrument, an empty earthen vessel. Lord, we plead, do pour in that we may pour out. And do grant the hearing ears, Lord, also unto this one a hearing ear. The hearing ears and the hearts of understanding. That thy word might do us good. So by the power of the Spirit, help us now, Lord, we plead. To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we look to thee. We plead then for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn number 161. The Lord in the day of his anger did lay our sins on the Lamb, and he bore them away. He died to atone for our sins, not his own. The Father has punished for us his dear Son. Hymn number 161.
Oh,
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we'll turn to the first epistle general of John and the first chapter and read the last clause of verse 7. The first epistle general of John, chapter 1, and the last clause of verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The first epistle general of John, and the last clause in verse 7 in chapter 1. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The first epistle general of John, chapter 1, the last clause. On the past evening, it so came to my mind, and sweet it was, as regards that perfect sacrifice offered once and for all. That perfect sacrifice, without it, none of us would have any hope. None of us would have any hope. Yes, we would die in our sins. And yes, as regards our sins, cast into that place where the flame is not quenched and the worm dieth not. That will be our portion. That is our portion by our very conception. We're conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. But if there was no salvation, if there was no shedding of this blood, this perfect sacrifice, then there will be no hope. No hope. And as I sat down yesterday evening, and those words, as we've taken them for our text, are the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so especially that little word, all. What a mercy in that little word, all. It encompasses the whole mountain of those sins which testify against us, the Marys and the Manassas. And can we not say, oh, what a mercy if we are brought and enabled to say, mine, mine. That little word, all sin, not some sins. Not one or two, not this one or that one. Otherwise, we're still condemned under the law. If we're still guilty, and if we're found guilty of one sin, we're guilty of the whole law. We transgressed the law of God, the whole of it. So whether we are guilty of one sin, we're guilty of it. And so if we were pardoned from one sin, we're still guilty of the law, still a transgressor. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That first hymn we had, did we not? And that question there. And why, dear Saviour, tell me why thou thus would suffer, bleed and die? What mighty motive could thee move? The motive's plain. 'Twas all for love, bound up in that love which is set upon his people. From eternity past, before ever the worlds were formed, there was that love set upon a certain people, not because of who they are, what name they may carry, or what a nation they're brought up in. It's every nation, kindred and tongue. A people chosen in eternity past, loved from all eternity. But there was that which separated. And what was that that separated? Yes, when man, when Adam was formed, Adam and Eve were formed. Before sin entered, they walked. Well, Adam, we read, walked and conversed with God in the evening of the day, in the Garden of Eden. But then when sin entered, and death by sin, there was that separation. Separation. And we're all found in that separation. Ah, we've sinned. We came from Adam's loins. There is that which separates, is there not? By a very conception and birth, we're at enmity with him. We see no beauty in him that we should desire him. But what a mercy. If we're found bound up in that, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Bound up in that everlasting love. Bound up in that covenant, ordering all things and sure, as we said, in eternity past. Almighty God knew that man would sin, man would fall from that that state in which he was created. But there, this provision, there was a provision made that in the fullness of time, yes, the prophet spake of it, declared it, that one that should come. And who was that one that should come? Yes, in eternity past. Or the Father gave to his Son that number that no man can number. And there was that wrought out in eternity past, that in that time, there should be that time when it should come to pass, the eternal Son, one that ever was with the Father. Is not that the mystery of godliness? Man tries to delve into it. One that ever was with the Father. Yes, we have the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three in one, yet one in three. It's a sacred mystery. But blessed be God, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And as that wrought out in eternity past, that God the Son, the eternal Son, should take upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. Made under the law to satisfy it. And to condescend, yes, in that condescension made under the law. Condescending to be a man and die. Well, where could one be found amongst mankind? None. All have sinned, but all. This man, verily God, verily man, by the overshadowing of Mary, by the Holy Ghost, that which was conceived in her, was one spotless, pure, and undefiled. Spotless, pure, undefiled. And so as the prophets spake of this one to come, so it was. And in the fullness of time, it was so. And what a condescension. Condescended to be a man and die. Because there wasn't one to be found amongst mankind as they came forth from the loins of Adam in that natural in a natural way. But there was this one made like unto his brethren, yet without sin. And why, dear Saviour, tell me why thou wouldst suffer, bleed, and die? What mighty motive could thee move? The motive's plain. 'Twas all for love. Love from all eternity, that remnant of all mankind, love from all eternity. And they shall, and they should be, and they would be redeemed from the hand of the enemy and saved from the wrath to come. I know I've often spoken of Abraham or referred to Abraham, but it's made precious to this poor sinner some years ago, where dear Abraham was commanded to go and offer his own son Isaac up, his only son, to offer him up as a sacrifice. And oh, there was that made known to Abraham that day, whereby, do we not read this? That Isaac asked of his father, see, here is the wood and the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham in faith, before many years before it came to pass, this was accounted unto him for righteousness. It was no righteousness in himself, but he saw that in one that will be his righteousness. God shall provide himself a lamb. Provide himself a lamb. Oh, what love. What love. And do we not read in John's Gospel, if I can turn to it for a moment, but all that, those precious truths there. And I can remember before I ever knew much, even as a child, as regards the work of grace. But I can remember this verse being so impressed upon my mind, even as a child, and may the Lord impress it upon even the younger ones' minds, that you might even prove in due time the blessedness of it, the reality of it. That verse we read in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God, we read. Precious truth this is. As I said, as a child, I can remember this remaining upon my mind. I believe it's the first scripture that ever was impressed upon my mind. So I did not understand it then. By trust in measure, by the Spirit teaching, brought to understand it in the divine reality of it, the beauty of it, the wondrousness of it. For God so loved the world, we read, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the next verse, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That salvation by this one. Yes, the love of God. The love of God, the Father. God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, God the Father, in the provision of his Son. And then is it not the blessed Spirit that reveals these things to poor sinners? It's the blessed Spirit. It's not learned by man in his natural learning. It is as a Spirit takes up that abode in their heart, your heart, poor sinner. Oh, may it be so. And I've quoted it many times, Spirit of Truth, come down. Reveal to me. I've had to quote it many times. I did in those times when the Lord deepened that work of grace in my soul. Spirit of Truth, come down. Reveal to me. A personal work. The personal salvation, but reveal to me the Spirit. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. Oh, to some poor sinner. Yes, even this day as we gather in this way. Oh, whether it be a young one, one in the midst of life or older. Oh, what a mercy have you been brought there. Spirit of Truth, come down. Reveal to me this poor sinner, this needy sinner, this hell-deserving sinner, this unworthy sinner. Reveal to me. Oh, it's necessity, is it not? Oh, yes, that sin, when it's revealed to a poor sinner, it'll make him groan, make him cry. Ah, reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. That second verse then, that hymn we began with. For love of whom? Ah, for love of whom? And then the answer there. Of sinners base, a hardened herd, a rebel race, that mocked and trampled on thy blood, and wantoned with the wounds of God. Yes, we once despise him. Oh, did you once despise him, poor sinner? You have to say, yes, I once despised him. Yes, he was once rejected of me, may have been found in the house of God. I didn't desire him. I desire for the Sabbath day to soon be over. Desire for the amen and the amen of the afternoon or the evening. Wanted for the Monday to come round again. Despised him. Rejected him. Saw no beauty in him. But oh, have you been brought to that? Yes, brought to feel you're a rebel, a hardened one. The apostle of old, yes, when we read of Paul, when he was yet Saul, oh, yes, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He had a very fleshly religion, went a long way. He's brought to know this, whereby he could testify of sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't label another one as worse than him. Ah, sinners base, a hardened herd, a rebel race that mocked and trampled on thy blood and wantoned with the wounds of God. Oh, what a mercy then. Ah, yes, that one that once trampled on these things, wanted to get them out of the way, push them to one side. But now, brought to groan, being burdened. As we began the service, I turned to that portion we read in Zechariah. I may have quoted it before, but oh, it seemed to fit in with the portion I read and the text we've taken. Ah, yes, even the hymn. Well, what we read in that chapter 12 in Zechariah, and the 10th verse there. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. Oh, has it been poured out upon you? You know what it is to groan. You know what it is to groan, being burdened. Not watching for the clock. Watching for the clock to very soon get to the 12 o'clock or whatever time it might be, or the evening hour. The amen. Your ear has been bore to the doorpost. And you long for the Lord to speak. You long for the Lord to say unto your soul, I am thy salvation. Ah, and there's been a groaning, being burdened. You've entered into the closet and poured your heart out before the Lord. Perhaps these events in the past months in this nation, the nations of the earth, have brought you there. Blessed be God if it is so. We plead that it might be amongst those around that have never gone into the courts of the Lord. Perhaps those that have turned aside many years ago. We plead that it might be so. Brought a groan, being burdened, they see there's a God of wrath, a God that will not at all acquit the wicked, and they feel they're amongst them. you feel you're amongst them. My sins, they all testify against me. They're a mountain, they're a great burden. Ah, and that groaning before the Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Look upon this needy sinner. Oh, yes, that true confession. You confess that you do not deserve his mercies. But that venturing by faith? Is that spirit of grace and supplications? That is not of the natural man. The natural man does not want Christ to reign over him. The natural man, yes, a natural man can have a knowledge of Scripture. Yes, as we said, as regards the apostle, he had a knowledge of the Scripture, a great knowledge of it. But it went no further than the natural thought until, yes, it could be said of him. He prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. You may say, well, I pray. Ah, I can look back to a time when I prayed. I could say, I thought I prayed. But when I look at it now, it's no more than natural things. Ah, yes, even in that way, seeking to make a name for myself in the earth. It's fleshly. It didn't enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. Those words fell to the ground. There was a stench in his nostrils. But all that spirit of grace and supplications, the broken heart, that one with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, which he will not despise. Which he will not despise. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Ah, oh, that spirit of grace and supplications. Oh, they long for a sight of that precious blood. Like we read when the Passover was instituted. Oh, and perhaps you've read that of recent days, and you see the significance of it. Yes, you realize that without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. We know that yes, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't give a remission from any sins. But that day when the Passover was instituted, Almighty God, there was that command that the blood of the sacrifice was to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of their dwellings. To be sprinkled there. And that was spoken, was it not? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Place of safety, sheltering under that blood. And you see, begin to see by faith as a place of safety. That place of safety is sheltering under that blood. That faith in that sacrifice offered once and for all, and that was not the faith Abraham was given. God shall provide himself a lamb. And he saw it so. There was that provision there, the ram caught by his horns in the thicket. Ah, you long for that precious blood, revelation of it. Yes, it speaks of much blood, of bulls and goats on those Jewish altars that were slain. And that chapter we read, yes, all that blood, and what a great quantity there was. We read, do we not, how much more shall the blood of Christ, how much more, and by faith has that been wrought in you, by the Spirit, that blood, and that your longing, to see that blood springing upon the doorpost and into your heart. You can't take it to yourself. You long to see it there. And the application of the Spirit, to be applied by the Spirit, it comes back to that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciences from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? And then that verse, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? But he shall appear, shall make himself known. Shall make himself known. And going back to that verse in Zechariah, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And then this. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Yes, that hymn this morning did not speak in that way. The Jews with thorns his temples crowned and lashed him when his hands were bound. But thorns and knotted whips and bands by us were furnished to their hands. They nailed him to the accursed tree. They did, my brethren, so did we. The soldier pierced his side, 'tis true. But we have pierced him through and through. Ah, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Ah, was that moved in your heart to mourn over this one? To mourn over this one whom you have pierced? You have to acknowledge it was so. Your sins. Blessed be God, if we can see by faith that it was so. Our sins. Ah, yes, it was because of our sins, the sins of the church, his chosen, his bride. The sins of those he've loved from all eternity. Oh, did it move you then as you sang those lines of that hymn? They nailed him to the accursed tree. They did, my brethren, so did we. The soldier pierced his side, 'tis true. But we have pierced him through and through. The hymn went on, did it not? O love of unexampled kind that leaves all thought so far behind. Where length and breadth and depth and height are lost to my astonished sight. For love of me, the Son of God, oh, did you long to lay hold upon that last verse? They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Ah, that sight by faith. That sight by faith. Oh, that reading of ours this morning, did it not end like this? Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, where you read the previous part of that chapter again at your leisure, concerning this one that said, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. This is that covenant of grace. And Christ is the mediator of that covenant, by whom that covenant is. That which you have wrought. This precious Christ. Ah, May the Lord lead you even into that truth, that exhortation. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a time of need it is. The need of a sinner. What in need of mercy. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days. As saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their heart. And in their minds will I write them, no more those tables of stone, no more those thunderings of Mount Sinai. Ah, yes, and those sacrifices made often, once and for all. Ah, yes, and this one that will perform it, will write these things in your heart and mine, inscribe them there. And then this declaration, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Will I remember no more, put away forever. Ah, put away forever. Yes, cast into the depths of the sea to be seen no more. But all, yes, by that sacrifice, once and for all, yes, the high priest of old, once a year we read, did we not? He entered into the holiest with that blood of the sacrifice. He couldn't enter in there without that blood. But all this glorious high priest, poor sinner, your advocate with the Father, this one has accomplished all. Through that love, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, accomplished all. Cry with his dying breath, it is finished. There's nothing more to pay. The whole sum is cancelled by his righteousness, his merits, his death. Yes, the shed blood, all that there. It accomplished everything. The Garden of Gethsemane. The cross at Calvary, the empty tomb. A risen Saviour. Ah, this one has entered in. Oh, this one has entered into the holiest. And not without blood, but with his own heart's blood. That sin atoning blood. Oh, that sin atoning blood. But all as we took for our text, did we not? Ah, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the poor sinner, ah, what a mercy when he's brought to enter into the closet, pour his heart before the Lord, that spirit of grace and supplications is given, and he sees by faith one whom he hath, ah, yes, he is pierced. Look upon that one they pierced. It's because his sins that were laid upon that spotless lamb. That one has made sin for his people. He who knew no sin bore that sin of many. Bore them away to be seen no more, to be remembered no more. Not just one sin. Not just one sin, but all sins. But oh, I see the time has gone, but all sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. For love of me, the Son of God, drained every drop of vital blood. Long time I after idols ran, but now my God's a martyred man. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach at 7 o'clock as usual. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Ian Sadler is expected to preach. God willing. Our closing hymn is number 909. Why, drooping saint, dismayed? Does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid? Or does he seem to frown? Hymn number 909.
Be pleased to bless that which is of thee. Oh, may it be a word in season unto one or another, a word of comfort to some poor sinner in bowed down with that mountain of sin, of guilt, knowing what the terror of the law is, the thunderings of Mount Sinai. May they be enabled to see by faith and lay hold by faith upon this precious one. And may Christ be made yet precious to them. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, that might yet be so. And, O Lord, make us, bring us each again and again to that place where we desire thee, along for those fresh tokens, those tokens of thy love and thy mercy. We hasten on, it turns before us. We're still sinners. Oh, to refresh us, Lord, revive us, thou knowest. Pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss, and do be pleased to come up with us again at the evening hour. Grant that help, Lord. Grant burden and exercise, to one another. Lord, thou knowest we need thee to burden and exercise us. Oh, how slothful we can get, how unmoved, burden each one. Oh, may they know what it is to enter into the closet and pour out their heart before thee. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.